Just to show that it's not, I'm just picking on Catholics. I want to show that there is sexual repression in all religions. And so we noticed this story in the news last week. The Mormons over at Brigham Young University have made a video. Apparently they really don't like masturbation over there in the Mormon religion. And they made a video which basically said, if you are in college and you see your roommate getting addicted to porn, stop him, intervene. And they made an analogy to soldiers not leaving their buddy wounded on the battlefield. Watch it if you don't believe me.
A lonely, confused young man gets addicted to pornography. His roommates know, but they do nothing to help him. The enemy whispers, don't get involved. It's not your problem. Don't tell, you'll be a tattletale. Oh, brothers and sisters, don't leave the wounded on the battlefield.
Okay, Catholics, we found someone worse.
This is Infants on Thrones.
Minnesota.
Okay. So should we go? Should we just go for it? Should we just jump right into masturbation?
I need a little more to warm me up, Bob.
Romance wow. Me.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, the videos that have been coming out. So we did the videos with Bednar, and we covered that, which that was a good episode as well, I thought. That guy is... I shared that with a number of people, and it was just cringeworthy for
the video or the episode. Everyone,
the video,
yeah. Right?
And it was just everyone just kind of cringed about it.
Active Mormons,
yeah, ish. I'm sorry. The active Mormons did just didn't really have a response or didn't want to say anything. It was
they
just clear. This is not good. And they all commented on how awkward the kid was or how awkward they felt about the kid and just how unsympathetic he seemed or unempathetic, I guess, he was to what was going on for that kid. But there's just been a lot of weird videos that have come out with those ones and then this masturbation one that what –
But
does anyone know the source of it?
You're calling it the masturbation, and it's been called the masturbation one on Facebook where I've seen it. It's not masturbation; it's pornography.
No, you're right. But as Randy likes to say, and I'll steal his line: "Is pornography without masturbation is just tedious."
Maybe it is, but
it's anticlimactic. Ooh.
Have you ever seen that? There's this meme that says pornography before masturbation, and it's like this beautiful looking pizza that's just beautiful toppings and perfectly cooked, and then it's pornography after, and it's just this disgusting, just torn up pizza, and that's kind of true.
What do you?
I don't know
how
pizza has to,
how is that true?
Because after you've masturbated, you're not interested. After you've eaten a ginormous pizza, you don't want to eat a pizza anymore, so another pizza looks gross.
So it's like a chewed piece of chewing gum?
Yeah. And all of a sudden, your tendencies of feeling guilty kick in after the deed is done.
Let me put it this way. It's amazing how interesting pornography is for a period of time, and then instantaneously it becomes uninteresting anymore.
Yeah.
For like 8 minutes.
I don't know. honestly, I'm never really that comfortable talking about pornography. You know, and
well,
like we go
not.
Back.
None
what,
of us are.
But like we had this conversation. Was it 3 years? 4 years ago? I don't remember how long ago it was, Matt. That we did that father-in-law pornography. We've mentioned this one several times on this podcast, but it that article was so ridiculous. But because I don't ever want to be seen as like a champion for pornography because I'm not. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I hate the way that the church uses these arbitrary fear-based messages as a way to like it, it it uses guilt. It makes people feel guilty about stuff that you really shouldn't feel that guilty about. I don't know. And it seemed to me that the message of this video was, if you know that your roommate is watching pornography or doing anything that they shouldn't be doing, rat him out. Your duty is to rat him out. And it made me think of the movie Swing Kids, when Christian Bale is getting indoctrinated by the Nazi youth group, and he's told to rat out his parents. He rats out his parents.
Herr Keller, the store owner, is always grousing and complaining about the lack of raw materials. He said they're being used up by the army and that this is hurting all small businessmen.
Very good, Stahlecker. Thank you. Burger?
I've overheard my father many times speaking out against the Führer. He says he's a madman who's dragging the whole country down with him.
Did he suggest any course of action to remedy this?
No. My father's too weak. He just talks.
You are superior to him. You are special. You belong to something special. He is your brother. All of you are brothers. The same blood runs through your veins. The blood of the greatest race on the face of this earth.
I don't know. It just...
Yeah, the concept... So the video is about a three-minute video that it equates the damage of pornography. And you're right. It is pornography, not masturbation. But it's implied. But the damage of that to war.
The temptations of the Great War are many. The battles are real, and the strategies are clever. The enemy is cruel, ruthless, and relentless. We must not underestimate the danger. We must be vigilant and valiant. A lonely, confused young man gets addicted to pornography. His roommates know, but they do nothing to help him. He stops going to church, and there is darkness in his eyes.
And the damage of war,
that he's wounded. That if you're addicted to pornography, or if you watch pornography and you become addicted, that you have a wound.
The young man is spiritually wounded on the battlefield of the Great War.
That then makes you feel shameful and whatever. I think it goes that direction with it. That you're wounded, and so, but the message is to the roommates of the wounded soldier: are you just going to leave the wounded soldier sitting by a tree with a close up on his face where you're imagining him masturbating off screen? I couldn't help imagine.
That's exactly. See, it was him.
That was the implication, but that was my own sick, twisted, dark comedy coming through. But you know. But the message was to the roommate. The message is, be the guy who saves the soldier. And
By telling on him.
In our modern society, the enemy has spread fear of getting involved when someone's in trouble, and has fostered a social stigma against people who speak up in the face of evil. The enemy whispers, don't get involved. It's not your problem. Don't tell, you'll be a tattletale. Oh, brothers and sisters, don't leave the wounded on the battlefield.
And then, like, there's the scene where he watches the wounded roommate go into the bishop's office and close the door, and he's got this look on his face like, ah, yes, I've saved him.
If you need to, talk to your bishop. Tell someone who can do something that you have a friend in trouble.
And to me, that's like the shut it door of shame, that you're like proud of that moment. Oh,
yeah. Well, it was such a throwback to the 90s seminary videos. Do you guys remember those?
Oh yeah.
The New Testament media videos that they played in seminary, and they had Godly Sorrow, which was with one Aaron Eckhart.
Yeah.
and then you had one where the guy was the full armor of God that was equating you going to a party to, you know, going to battle, and it was you got to put on your armor, or otherwise, if you go to a party, you'll be sitting there with a couple girls, and somebody will bring a pornography magazine, and you all just start looking at it. That's literally the scene they depict in that. But it's the same kind of thing. It's just a weird, awkward outlook, and it's not healthy. You focus on this, and you deal with any or consider anything associated with pornography as an addiction and as a wound, as this battle wound, and you're just going to end up effing people up.
Yeah, so I think you nailed it on the head there. The biggest issue is not having any definition as to what constitutes pornography, quote unquote, addiction versus pornography usage, which is it's not just the Mormon church. It's a lot of religious institutions.
Sure.
Have a problem with anything that has an addiction component means that any participation in it, be it drinks or pornography, means you're addicted. And so it could be that you walk in on your friend, or you know your friend is doing something, and you just automatically equate that with addiction. So by definition, everyone's ratting everyone else out, which is the second point I want to make, which is like, this makes no sense because it assumes that there's like a quote unquote healthy contingency of young boys in college who have overcome pornography / masturbation and therefore are the valiant army that's like the porn hall monitor equivalent or whatever, but that doesn't exist. Everyone, I mean, they're different levels of, I guess, what do you want to call it, sexual tension on a spectrum, but most healthy young males are all experiencing the same kind of feelings and desires in this way. So if you're ratting somebody out, they're ratting you out. Like there's no like one group versus another group. It's all one and the same people. So how does it even work when you're told to rat on your friend when your friend's ratting on you too, right? You all know that you all do it.
Yeah, but the move is that you got to be the first one to rat him out in order to cover for what you're
It's like the prisoner's dilemma. It's like, do we both deny it? Do we both agree? Like, what are the prison term sentences based on, you know, being interrogated in separate rooms and then trying to tell the bishop your version of the story and hope it's different or matches up and the consequences are different as a result.
Well, that's funny, but to me the message of the movie is to kids like me, like I was, that really hunger and thirst to be the good one.
Stick together. You don't need to be a more righteous than thou person. We're all sinners. We all have troubles. We've all been spiritually wounded in the battles of the Great War. But you who have felt the redeeming power of Christ, you who know his love and his grace, you know he can heal all wounds. If you reach out in a spirit of love and humility, you can help the spiritually wounded find the Savior.
You know, you want to aspire to the ideal, and the ideal is this, you know, very caring roommate who just listens and sees a problem, and he helps the wounded soldier get to the medic office of the bishop.
Yeah,
or whatever,
yeah, but,
you know, and you want to be that guy. You want to be the one who
helps.
But Glenn,
how does that work? Like, what's the statute of limitations on how long ago you yourself masturbated or saw pornography that has to elapse? What amount of time has to elapse before you yourself are in a position to feel comfortable ratting somebody else out for something that you think you've given up, but that you'll probably do again next week or whatever? Like, I don't understand which group of males is actually self-righteous enough to feel like they've overcome this thing that they need to tell their bishops is happening with their friends when it's still happening for them too. Yeah. Like, it doesn't.
I'm not saying that they have to be that 100%, but that this is the goal that they are aspiring to.
Don't be silent.
So if they masturbate, they go talk to their bishop about it. They you know, they clear the slate, they get on whatever program the bishop helps them to get off of it, and they stay vigilant, and you know, but they're trying to put themselves in the position where they don't have the problems themselves so that they can help other people.
But how do people even know that other guys are doing this?
I don't think that's the point. I think the point is be this guy yourself. Be the person that can help the wounded soldier. Don't be the wounded soldier. Be the person who helps the world. So put yourself – make the choices in your life where you can be that guy instead of the other guy.
Mm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's but I don't think that's what it is. I think that's a
nice way of – that's a benefit of the doubt. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Don't leave the wounded on the battlefield.
I mean – yeah, of course, indirectly, I'm sure the church would be happy if this encouraged people to be that person who doesn't ever actually have to rat on their friend, but is in a position because of the video that they feel like they're prepared to if they ever needed to, but they never do.
What's the character arc of the wounded soldier? Who does the wounded soldier become by the end of this 3-minute video clip? He's lifted up off of the battlefield and he's elevated to the same level as, you know, his roommate. They're like both in their white shirts and ties and they're smiling at each other at like a little seminary or like family home meeting.
But isn't there,
thing, you know,
isn't there this like implicit scene where a dude is like in a room with his laptop and then somebody else like opens the door halfway?
Right, that's at the beginning. That's at the beginning of his story arc. It's a very short story arc, but he goes from being the wounded soldier, the bad guy, to being redeemed.
But does he not have a lock? That's what I thought.
Come on.
I thought that too, but then what I also thought implicitly goes counter to what Glenn's gracious reading says, and that is, if they're going to show that in the video, It implies that that has significance. Like the fact that somebody cracked the door open and was able to see what was going on is part of the solution to the problem. So that person must have taken action.
But the person, he doesn't crack the door and peek in. He's like walking in the room like he's going to say, "Hey, you want to go play basketball?" And then he sees, oh my gosh.
Yeah, whatever.
He's looking at porn. I better give him his space. And he kind of turns around and gingerly walks away. And then the president of BYU Idaho says, "Why would you leave someone when you see them in a situation like that? Why not rescue them? Why would you walk away and leave a wounded soldier?
Because I got to get to my bishop to tell him about the wounded soldier.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I don't know. I thought there was an implicit, you know, you're complicit in this unless you report it. And don't feel like you don't need to do anything or say anything. Take action. If you can't talk to them, talk to your leaders. Don't let them suffer alone. There are people that can help. It might be you. Maybe it's not you. Yeah. There are a lot of different ways to deal with it. But the point is, in my opinion, everybody is doing, in the aggregate, about the same level of masturbation. And so there's a high likelihood that the person who walks in and is like, "Oh shit, I just caught my friend. Well, I'm glad I wasn't the other way around, because that would have been yesterday," or I'm glad I use a lock. Like, everybody's doing the same thing. So like, nobody in their right mind is going to rat on somebody for something that they already know that they're doing, because there aren't that many people, even in the church, that actually have overcome this in their early 20s when they're not married or don't have some other outlet, or like, this is just a very normal, healthy biological thing that is you're kind of messed up if you're able to overcome this the pure way the church wants you to for an extended period of time where you feel like you're in a position to rat on people because you haven't masturbated for like 6 months plus or whatever. You have other problems if that's the case, is my opinion. No?
I don't know. I like, the more we talk about it, the more generous I feel like being towards it. I had this experience when I was at BYU, and we had a bishop give one of the most explicit descriptions of petting that I ever had. It was a really logical breakdown of petting, that you've got petting, heavy petting, and very heavy petting, and that. You can demarcate it based on whether it's above the waist or below the waist, or above the clothes or below the clothes. So those are your quadrants. So you've got above the waist, over the clothes is petting.
Right.
Above the waist, under the clothes, or below the waist, over the clothes is heavy petting.
Oh, so those are the same. So Okay.
Interesting.
And then, I like where this is going.
Yeah, okay. And then under the clothes, below the waist, is very heavy petting. And but anyway, so you know, I think he was just trying to give us a nomenclature so we could go in and like check a box and let him know what it was that we'd been doing or something, you know. And
you need to do that because if you just do the bases, you can't get
yeah. But so, anyways, a friend of mine after that lesson, he's like, "Can we talk?" I'm like, "All right." And he totally used me as like his confessional booth or whatever to talk about the problems that he had had with masturbation growing up.
Wait, but masturbating over your pants is better? If you go into your bishop and you're like, "Listen, I have a masturbation problem, but I'm able to like
without taking
my pants off, so it's not quite as bad,
no,
right?"
Bob, he wasn't talking about touching yourself.
I know, I'm making a fucking joke.
Okay.
If you extrapolate and use that same spectrum for masturbation.
Yeah.
Anyway,
we didn't talk about Levi Lovin.
Whether you're
Lovin on another person or just your bed.
I'm just saying Mormons, if you give them a matrix or a framework in one context, it's not hard to extrapolate it for another one when they both are about sex.
All right.
Oh, absolutely. Mormons are great at trying to parse things out like that.
It's like finding a loophole. Like, I don't know.
You and your loopholes.
That's how you have to live as a Mormon, man. I'm surprised that wasn't a favorite pastime of yours.
Yeah.
How did they release this video? I don't even – how do you – it's specifically from the BYU Idaho, right? So how are they even releasing this?
Well, the link I got on YouTube is clearly someone who doesn't approve of it, so – I don't know that they actually, quote-unquote, released it as much as somebody got a hold of it. They probably showed it in some auditorium or some as part of some it was recorded, obviously, this speech that was given as part of a devotional or a regular weekly do-what-you're-told message that happens at BYU institutions. And then that recording leaked, or part of it was intended for a certain audience, but then, you know, this is in this day and age – once somebody gets their hands on it, it's online, and there you go.
Yeah. That's kind of weird. It just again, shows such an unhealthy, psychologically unhealthy approach to this type of stuff. I'd just be interested what a therapist would think about that. I just got to think that all that does is mess up these kids, the college age students that are already dealing with too serious of stuff to really be focused on this.
Yeah. So let me pull a Glenn and kind of going with the benefit of the doubt perspective. What is the best way for a religious institution, Mormonism included, if they were to try to give a healthy message about sexuality to young unmarried people? Should they just drop it and not bring it up, or what should they say?
Good question, Bob. You'll just have to tune in to our next full episode to get the answer, because that's where Matt and Randy talk to three experts in sexuality, and they have rewritten a few of the sections in the For Strength of Youth pamphlet that the church uses to teach these lessons to kids today. So stay tuned, because it's going to be a good one. And oh yeah, hey, we broke 100 for our iTunes reviews. We've got 103 now. Yay! So let me read you the last three. So, let's see. This one was kind of awesome. And it says, "Pretty Much Awesome" by Jera Lobos. I don't think that's a real name. And he says, "I've always been a fan of these guys." Always? "The production value, the humor, and timing are all near perfect. Almost. The Streaking Samurai made me laugh harder than any other podcast. These guys could be really boring and just state the historical facts, and I'd still listen, but they add in humor, music, and sound effects." That's a great three pattern right there, Jera Lobos. "It's a brilliant approach to Mormon podcasting, if that's what you call it. Very well produced." Well, thank you, Jera Lobos. I appreciate it very much. And from Deconstructor, on April 23rd, 2014, "Aside from the great topics and conversations, the audio quality and editing are superb. The discussions are diverse, but are well within the intended scope of what the show is striving for. Well, thank you very much, Deconstructor. Thank you for your efforts. Great job. And then the third one, on April 21st, 2014, by Vic Ferrari Lives. Yeah. It's called Mormon Podcast 3.0, and it says, so this is basically the third generation in my Mormon podcasting. It started with Mormon Stories, which is and was awesome in its own niche. Then Mormon Expression took it to the next level as second generation. Now Infants on Thrones is 3.0. Better production, better humor, better engaging. Love it. Thanks, Vic Ferrari. I really appreciate that. So if you've got some input that you want to put on iTunes, by all means, give us a 5-star review. Write up what you think about it. We love to read it. We might read it on here, and we might not. So thanks. Anyone for the closing prayer?
For listening to Infants on Thrones.
Infants on Thrones. Love is a battlefield.